Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio and host of the syndicated talk show, People of Distinction. The talk that gives you an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, alcoleenterprises.com, for more info. Email me through benji@alcoleenterprises.com if you'd like to get involved with what we have going. And as always, please continue to like and follow our broadcasts. People of Distinction is internationally syndicated solely due to the love and support that you all continue to give. We're available across all major distributors, and as long as you keep following, we're going to continue to put out the content. Now sit back and strap in, because on the line with us today, we have the impressive Father John F. Tuohy. And we're going to be discussing his amazing book, Striving to Be Perfect as the Heavenly Father is Perfect, Reflections on Christian Maturity in Decision-Making, Forgiving, and Reconciliation. Now, it's available for purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Thrift Books, a whole host of other places. But if you want to gather everything that he has in store, and trust me when I tell you, John has a lot in store, because he has another two books that you're also going to want to check out. Look at his personal site, and that's john.tuohy.com. In addition to this book, Striving, you're going to find two others. Now, it's a volume one and a volume two, so they're going to have the same main title, but different subtitles. So quickly, that's Pope Paul VI in his Quest for Peace, 1963 to 1978. The subtitle on that, Never Again War. Volume two, same main title, but the subtitle is going to be If You Want Peace, Ellipses. All three of these books, I'm telling you, are magnificent resources to add to your shelf. You know where you gotta go. Again, it's Amazon, it's Barnes & Noble, but most importantly, john.tuohy.com. And I quickly want to point out the fact that John was brought to our network, People of Distinction, today by one of the best publishing firms in the business, City of Books. So if you're a writer who has gone through their process and now you need some assistance moving that masterpiece you developed, look no further than City of Books, people, because this is exactly what they specialize in. Head on over to cityofbooks.com and gather all the ways that their fantastic team is going to help you do just that. People, trust me when I tell you, man, I am thoroughly looking forward to this discussion. Father Tuohy's new book, Striving to Be Perfect as the Heavenly Father is Perfect, isn't just another spiritual guide. Man, it's raw. It is revelatory. It's a journey merging ancient wisdom, the 12 steps, which I'm very interested to see how that all merges, and his own battles. You see, in a world that is obsessed with self-improvement but starved of true transformation, his message cuts deep. Holiness isn't about flawlessness, but relentless surrender. Today, listen, people, we are going to unpack the hard-won insights behind his work, the struggles he almost left out, and why perfection might not mean what you think. So whether you yourself have wrestled with addiction in the past, doubt, or even the crushing weight of never feeling like you were enough, this book could change how you see grace. I'm telling you, man, this is a book that is wonderfully packed with great insight. And even it's going to be a gift that you're going to want to add to someone else's shelf. And conversations that are going to revolve around this are going to be pretty impactful. Sit back, strap in, have your notebooks ready. You're about to receive an education. John, first and foremost, welcome to People of Distinction, and thank you very much for being a guest. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm very well, and it's a privilege to be chatting with you today. I'm doing very well. We finally got some warm weather here in New England.
Well, listen, I'm very familiar with the New England weather. Being a New England boy myself, I left almost 20 years ago, John, but yeah, I get it, man. You know, those winters are not for the faint of heart, that is for sure. And more power to you, brother, because I don't miss it. I remember having to dress in layers just to go outside. That was not fun. First and foremost, before we jump into this book, I'm dying to know the inspiration behind it, because it is wonderfully unique. How did this even come about?
Well, part of the inspiration relates to my addiction to alcohol, because I was working on the Pope Paul books that you mentioned, and was behind schedule, and really trying to move along, except at the same time, I was being very distracted with resentments that were kind of reemerging. And anyone with an addiction will know resentments are your worst possible enemy for relapse. And I finally decided, you know what, John, you're behind schedule. You need to go back to the basics of being a forgiving person. And I love to journal. I can't think it. I need to write it. And so the second essay actually was the first one. I needed to revisit how I came to be able to forgive people and myself. And so I started writing. And then as I was writing, it occurred to me, well, you know, if you don't enjoy Christian maturity, and that, I'm glad you said that about perfect, doesn't mean what we think it means.
Yeah.
I can't be perfect. I surely can't be perfect. But I can seek to be a mature person in the fullness of the image of Christ, as St. Paul says. So that was the inspiration was I needed to return to my forgiveness roots, and the best way to do that was to write. And after 30 years in academia, if I have to write it, then I need to publish it, as any professor will tell you. So so I wrote it, and then I submitted it to Christian Faith, and they liked it, and they wanted more. So it became the three essays that it is. So what was the inspiration? If I wasn't going to relapse, then I needed to deal with issues of forgiveness so that I could get back to what I really wanted to do, was to finish the book. So what was going to be my first two books became my second and third, because this one came out first.
There you have it. You know, John, I want to stick here with this concept of perfection for a second, because listen, man, as you know, as I know, as everyone listening in understands, perfection is a daunting, I mean, even intimidating goal. How do you in your book reconcile this call to perfection with the reality of human brokenness and failure?
Well, that's a good question, and it makes you step back and be thankful for our professors beating Greek into us, because the same word where we quote Jesus as saying be perfect, that exact same word in Greek is the word that is translated in St. Paul as mature, to be a mature person. And so that's how, you know, I can't be perfect. I don't know why we translate it differently in the two scriptures, even though it's the same word in the same language. But when I think of perfection, I think of maturity, trying to be intellectually mature, spiritually mature, morally mature. I find it much easier to deal with, and I think that's part of what the 12 steps are. And I quote a lot the early church writings back in the 3rd and 4th up to the 15th century. And all of their writings really are about growing up to be who we say we are, which is maturity. So I don't think of being perfect as, you know, dotting every I and crossing every T. When I think perfection, I think I am called to be a mature individual, intellectually, spiritually, professionally, and so forth. So that's how I think of perfection. I'm called to be a mature individual. And to be honest with you, even getting there is a challenge. But so I don't get hung up on perfection. I challenge myself to be mature, and that's much more attainable. And as I say, it's the same word. So I don't really think it matters how we translate it.
No, listen, I think that's a great correlation that you're making, and definitely is one that takes a lot of the intimidation off of it, right? Like, I think being mature is much more attainable than being perfect, and being perfect is so subjective, right? Because it's going to vary based upon the individual. But I love that interpretation, and I think you're onto something special here. Another thing that I thought that you did was very unique, and something that I'm really curious about is mixing in the 12 steps. Now, obviously, with your own personal experience, I can see the correlation, although I recognize a lot of overlap with regards to the 12 steps and when it comes to spirituality. So I want to ask you, because the 12 steps are rooted in surrender and humility, right? Well, how do you see these principles applying to the pursuit of Christian quote-unquote perfection?
Well, the 12 steps are considered to be a spiritual program. And in fact, AA began in a Catholic hospital. The CEO said no, but the sister who was in charge of mission ignored him and let these fellows come in to start their meetings. And the principles are, the steps rather, are very much influenced by the Jesuit tradition. The founders of AA worked with and were friendly with Jesuits. So the program itself is rooted in a spiritual tradition. And so it lends itself very nicely, for example, in the third essay, making amends with other people has such a parallel to what we have in the Catholic tradition of the sacrament of reconciliation. And that's the whole point of being amends, is to try to be friendly again. It may not work out. It doesn't have to achieve its goal. But that's reconciliation, reconciliare, to be friendly again. And so there's such a great parallelism between the sacrament and the making of amends in the steps.
Yeah.
So the program itself lends it, well, that's not the right way to say it. It's not that it lends itself to, it is in fact flowing from a spiritual tradition and is considered a spiritual program because the first three steps. We admit we're out of control. We accept that there is one who can help us, and that's God in our understanding. So, and then from there, it's kind of like the Ten Commandments. The first three are about God, and the next seven are about how do you behave. The first three steps are about surrender to the God of our understanding, and then the rest of it is how to go about working it out. So in that sense, and I never thought of that until just this minute, it kind of parallels the Ten Commandments in its structure.
Yeah. People, I'm telling you, this is a book to be added to your shelf. It's Amazon, it's Barnes & Noble, it's Thrift Books, it's a lot of other places. Most importantly, check out john.tui.com. You're going to want to pick up this amazing book. Again, it's called Striving to Be Perfect, as the Heavenly Father is perfect. In addition to that, check out his two other books. Now, it's a series. It's a volume one, volume two, both with the same main title, Pope Paul VI and His Quest for Peace, 1963 to 1978. Never Again War is volume one. If You Want Peace, Ellipses is volume two. You're going to want to head on over there. Pick up your copies today. You know, my follow-up question that I want to go into now, John, I'm curious to know, throughout this writing process and this journey, how has writing this book impacted your own spiritual journey? I mean, did you uncover any insights while writing that surprised even you while you were putting the words on the page?
Yes, as a matter of fact, and I was a little nervous at first on the theology of it and what somebody might say, but what was real helpful for me as I was writing was the insight. If you follow the creation narrative in Genesis, you know, we can say that we weren't created to be forgiving people because there was no need to be forgiving because we wouldn't hurt each other until the fall. And so I talk about forgiveness as second nature, not in the sense of it comes naturally, which is the way we normally think about it, but second nature in there's our original innocent nature to which had to be added a second nature to be able to forgive. And that was very helpful because I was telling myself, of course this is difficult, John. Humanity wasn't created to do this. It had to be added on to us. So of course it's difficult. And when you know, it's, when you can tell yourself, oh, you kind of let yourself off the hook, I got to forgive. Slow down. Forgiveness is hard because it's second nature. It's had to be added on to us because of the fall. And that was real helpful to me. And even, you know, as we go. And I've also found it pastorally very helpful to be able to say to people, well, of course it's difficult. We weren't created to forgive. It wasn't necessary. It had to be added on. It's second to the first. And that just kind of lets me off the pressure, the treadmill. It doesn't let me off the hook. But it lets me out to say, okay, it's not whether I do it, it's how, and let it take its own time. Mm-hmm. And so that was really helpful to me because I tend to be a perfectionist, which is not a not particularly great virtue. And so it allows me to say, of course it's hard. Why wouldn't it be hard?
Yeah.
And that helps me to relax and work it out. So that I would say that was the most helpful thing to me. And I found it helpful in my path for work as a priest as well.
Mm-hmm. Last couple of questions here for you, John. What would you say is the most important aspect of your book? And in your opinion, listen, it's filled with a lot of gems. But what would you say is the most important?
I would say the most important thing is, and you've alluded to this, the blending of the Christian and Catholic traditions, the 12 steps, bringing my own professional experience, particularly in healthcare. I was on a medical faculty for 20 years. But also, I mean, the book is filled with writings from the, as I mentioned, the early church writings. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty unique blending of a lot of different traditions coming together. And I think that's what I would say makes the book unique, that, you know, you have your 12 steps books, you have your Catholic theology, you have your Christian tradition. Most of these things are in different places. And I think I would say contribution and what I like most about it is to be able to tap into so much richness in my own experience and education and ministry, to really delve into the wealth of all that's been given to me, mm-hmm. and to pull it together and to find direction in that.
John, last question here for you, man. I want to offer some more helpful tips for anyone out there that's listening in. Okay, let's put ourselves in their perspective here for a second. So we have a listening audience member. They're buying what you're selling, man. They're picking up what you're putting down. They understand the power of your words and what is found in this book. So they go ahead and they purchase it. Now they're reading it, but they're still feeling stuck, right? They're still feeling like that progression isn't happening, and they're wanting to work towards this, not perfection, because we've already discussed through this conversation, there's a difference between, rather than trying to search for perfection, search for maturity. So there's someone out there reading your book and feels stuck in their progress towards that maturity. What do you want to say to them, and how would you counsel them?
Whoa, that's a good question. Well, the book does contain pretty, I hope, clear examples of how to move forward. But I think I would also remind people, and we forget this about grief as well, grief takes its own time in resolving. Mm-hmm. And hurt takes its own time in resolving. And forgiveness comes when forgiveness can. And one of the things I really make clear in the book is it's really God within us who's doing the forgiving. And for him, a year is like infinity. So I think I would say you got to be patient. Just like grief takes its own time, coming to forgiveness takes its own time. Mm. Healing takes its own time. And of course, we remember too that, you know, if you break your leg, healing hurts. Oh my gosh, when I had my left knee replaced, I was so excited about having it replaced, but oh my gosh, the pain of recovery. And so I think we just need to remember that it's not a pleasant experience, and to be patient and just to keep at it. It's when we get frustrated and we give up. No, we have to, okay, I'm not ready to forgive yet. That's fine. That's fine. Slow down. Let it take its own time.
You know, John, I love that advice. And I think that that is something that carries weight in all aspects of life. I know we're being very particular here, but you know, it's funny. It just, just to add, you know, some levity here, it reminded me of, I'm a very new father. I have two children now, and my oldest, my daughter, is 2 years old. She just turned two. Well, technically, she's not even two yet. She'll be two in a few days. And
oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. You know, and it's interesting because now we're going through this process of that quote-unquote terrible twos. And the toddlers, when they're, you know, they don't have the filters yet, right? They haven't been, no. So she is, you know, we jokingly say she's bipolar because she'll go from being happy, jumping around, smiling to all of a sudden shouting and crying the very next second. And my wife and I realized that we have to have a lot of patience with her. and allow her to work through those emotions, right? Put proper parameters around things so it doesn't go crazy, but having that patience and keeping things within means, but allowing her to go through her process. And it's an amazing thing that you said, because again, it correlates. It's a different circumstance, but it's the same thing in terms of people, regardless of what it is that you're going through. If you are striving to find this maturity within yourself to become perfect as the Heavenly Father, or maybe you're dealing with, you know, a temperamental toddler, patience is key. Going through that process and that understanding and not skipping steps. And listen, it may be hard. And sometimes you want to jump from B to Z, man. You're like, I don't care about all those steps in between. Let me just get to the end of it.
Well, right, hey, exactly, right.
It's not going to help you get to where you need to go. You're robbing yourself of the experience. You're not going to get the end goal that you're looking for. But also understanding that a lot of the wisdom and the strength that you need for that letter Z, man, you pick those up when you're going through L, M, N, O, and all the other steps in between. So you have to go through that process. And I think that that's a great piece of advice and absolutely a wonderful way to close out on. People, I'm going to say it for you again. The book is called Striving to Be Perfect as the Heavenly Father is Perfect by Father John F. Tuohy. Head on over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Thrift Books. Check out his personal site, john.tuohy.com. He has two other books you're going to need to pick up as well. I'm telling you, there is a lot happening here. And so much wisdom to be gained. You know where to go. John, this has been a true pleasure. Thank you once again for being a guest on People of Distinction.
Thank you very much, Benji.